Blog Talk Radio.
It's raw, it's uninhibited, and yes, it's nude. Nude Radio, the live talk show for the urban 20-something. Talk radio has never been this naked.
Well, hello, and welcome to Nude Radio, the live talk show for the urban 20-something. We're the radio arm to Nude Magazine, the premier online arts and progressive culture publication. For the RC independent thinking, truth-seeking 20-something. It's the week of May 8th, and happy Mother's Day to all. Today we're having a very special show. It's called Always and Forever Jones. We're talking with Soul Movement Crew contemporary gospel artist Mark Lee, alongside Grammy-nominated family band Forever Jones. Coming up in about 15 minutes, so you can get in touch with us. Send us your Mother's Day greetings, ask questions of our fabulous guests and ourselves by logging into the chat room here at blogtalkradio.com/NEWD, or you can Skype into the show, which is a cool new way to get in touch with us, or call us here directly at 646-727-1706. Now let's have you meet the cast for today. It's myself and the other culture vulture here on Nude Radio. I'm Tiffany Knowles, the managing editor of NudeMagazine.com, the publication where we're bearing all to expose truth. I'm your slightly anal type A moderator who's loved by many and tolerated by so many more. We have our very special guest co-host here, the host of Spit Truth Radio on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. here on the Blog Talk Radio platform. None other than, ta-da, yes, the male, the dude.
The male, yes, the dude, yes. Usually I'm sandwiched in the middle, but Ebron is in London today, and I'm not even going to try to do a British accent because I'm going to kill it, and then I'm going to have, like, you know, SAS after me or whatever the Secret Service people coming after me for jacking up their accent. So I'm not even going to try. But Ebron, what's going on?
Yeah, she's in London. She's very excited because she's on a mini missions trip, and we're supporting her through prayers, and so we're pretty excited about it. So no, Interpol will not be after you. And,
good.
I could do the British accent fairly well, you know.
Yes.
I'm not sure what part of England I'm from. Not sure what part of the UK I'm from. But you know, I do a little accent that I think passes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does.
You get me. Okay.
Cheerio.
Can you please introduce yourself? Like, who the heck are you? Does anyone even know who's talking?
Yeah, I think I did introduce myself. I'll say it again for those who didn't hear me.
I just didn't hear the swagger part, so I'm sorry.
I said the pastor with swagger. I know you wanted to hear that. I was hoping. All right, you got it.
And that's the thing. Like, that's your little shtick. Like, I love that you're the pastor with swag. If you've ever seen Pastor Dre walk down the street, then you would know what I'm talking about.
Because he kind of
has this Staten Island Shaolin kind of flavor, and it's nice. It's nice. So we're going to kick off today's show like we do every week with current events. So up first, guys, last week while we were ending our Nude Radio program, the most amazing covert op this decade was taking place in Abbottabad, Pakistan. And in NudeMagazine.com this week, we're running a story called And Now a Moment of Silence by the great columnist Anna Guthrie. Why? Because Osama bin Laden, the face of global terrorism and the architect of the September 11th, 2001 attacks, was killed in a firefight with elite American forces. The Navy SEALs, big ups to you guys. That was Sunday night into Monday. This is all happening. He was buried at sea in a traditional Islamic burial, all in white, and a few Arabic phrases were pronounced over his body, and he was buried at sea. Justice has been done, President Barack Obama said in his announcement, and that night, and people were shouting in the streets, you know, excited and all that jazz. I just don't understand. That's not the right posture to take. Why are you shouting in the streets? Like, why are you screaming and shouting? Yes,
yeah.
Everyone is kind of relieved that this terrorist has been removed from the game. But
yeah.
I just don't get that part about the celebration and shouting in the streets. Like, I don't think that's the posture we need to take. Prayer, maybe.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree. I have my own opinion. I think that they should have caught the man instead of, you know, but they the president have his reasons, and, you know, from my understanding, he wasn't armed, but, hey, it is what it is.
I know, but you know what they said, that Navy SEALs are trained that if they do show the sign of surrender, they will take them in as captives, but this guy seemed to be having some kind of resistance in being captured. I don't know, but that was the story. So it could very well have been that they just wanted to take him out, but all in all, he is no longer a threat.
Yeah.
At least him as a mastermind is no longer the threat.
Yeah, and the financier.
And the financier, of course. Yeah, and the deal about his pictures being circulated, I still see his pictures, even though Barack Obama, our president, has said that he doesn't want those pictures circulated.
I don't know if that's real pictures. It looked Photoshopped. I saw the picture. He looks like he's like half smiling in the picture.
Oh, you think that's a Photoshop photo?
I think it's Photoshop. Yeah.
Okay, it could very well be, because I saw different versions of it too. I'm like, I don't know if that's genuine or not. But yeah, so that's it. That's my current event. We all know about it. But check out that story on nudemagazine.com and EWDmagazine.com. You have some.
I do
dramatic
have
some, news for us.
It's very dramatic. I hope everyone is sitting down as they are listening to this. The PlayStation 3 network is down.
Oh, gosh.
And for us Call of Duty heads out there, we don't know what to do with ourselves. I sit and I wait and I wait. But apparently PlayStation network, not just the PS3 network, but the PlayStation network in itself got hacked. And not just them, but a few other online gaming companies, they got hacked as well. So they shut off the online gaming to rework their network to hopefully pick it up again. So if you have Xbox 360, you're good. But if you have PS3, like myself, not so good. And it's a free online gaming, so a lot of people, 17 million to be exact, almost to be exact, are affected by this.
My gosh, it's such a vast number.
And you know what?
I mean, how devastation. Devastation.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Why do you sound so solemn? What is this?
It's a part of life. Like, if you've ever played Call of Duty, you'll know what I'm talking about. But check this out. This past week, and I think that this had something to do with it, you know, for you to sign up with a network, you have to use some kind of credit card to sign up for the network in case you wanted to make purchases. With like, if you wanted to buy movies or purchase extras for a game, you have to use your credit card. Now, I went to IHOP this past week to take my kids out to eat, and my card didn't work. You know, and I was using my Visa debit card. So when I went on my Android phone, checked my account, I got more than enough money in my account. I knew I had more than enough, but I'm like, okay, what's going on? They said your card declined. So I called up my bank, and they told me that apparently a purchase that I have made was done through a fraudulent company,
or a company
that has been, you know, affected somehow, and they had to deactivate my card. So I'm thinking that maybe PS3 had my card on file, and they did that because for security purposes. But a lot of people were affected by it, and it wasn't just the PlayStation 3 network. It was a couple of other online gaming companies as well.
Oh, okay. So I guess this has proved it to us. However, you still sound a little bit too disturbed by this, Pastor Andre. Can you get over it?
I'm going to try to get it together.
Need you to do that. I need you to do that, okay? And all the others who are addicted to these gaming networks, get over it.
Well, Tiffany, there's always Facebook.
Well, that's another addiction. And apparently I think it's an official medical term now, Facebook depression, like FD or something. I'm forgetting the exact term.
They do not have a diagnosis for that.
There is some sort of diagnosis, and I know this because of one of my students. I couldn't believe it. And so, please, get over it.
Yeah.
Read a book.
Okay.
All right. Guys, we're going to go to our next segment here on Nude Radio. It's called Love to Hate.
Oh, hated it.
That's what's up.
Love
to hate.
Well, we're moving to our next segment here on Nude Radio. Love to Hate. It's the time where we hip you to a new trend or cultural phenomenon that really grates on us, so much so that we deem it only fair to grate on our listeners' nerves as well. So, first up on Love to Hate is my Love to Hate. And I call it ankles that won't heal, because I've been dealing with a sprained ankle for about 3 weeks now. I was jumping up to get a bag from the top of my closet on the shelf, and I jumped like 3 times, and like on the 3rd time, I came down, but came down on the top of my ankle. The top
Ouch.
Of my foot, which is the instep. Yeah, like on top of the instep, so completely
Ouch.
Wrong. Like on the opposite side of the foot. So that was bad, and so that was the worst pain I've ever felt in my foot before. Never had injuries like that. So I've been really doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing. I did the whole RICE acronym, so rest, ice, compression, elevation. I did that whole thing, Pastor Andre. It's still swollen. And since I'm a dancer, this is like, this is the worst sentence ever. Okay, Jesus, heal it, this ankle, because I need to dance, and it's not, I can't deal with the ankle injury anymore, so what they're saying is maybe I should go to the doctor. So what do you think, Pastor Andre? I know you've dealt
you
with this.
You still have not gone to the doctor?
Well, why should I? It's just a sprain.
Oh, okay. Keep saying that. Keep telling yourself that.
Okay, you know, I have brothers who've had basketball injuries, and they have iced their ankles, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm sure Kobe Bryant, who had his ankle injury just recently, was icing his.
He's a big beat. But I'm sure he iced it, but he also has a team of $1 million medical personnel behind him to help his ankle get better.
Oh, gosh. That's so
minor.
You
may have, you know, insurance, and you can go to the doctor, and then get a referral to go to another doctor, and they'll say, okay, you need to go to another doctor, and then to another doctor, and then to another doctor.
Well, Kobe doesn't need all that, so he has the specialist.
But you don't have Kobe money, so you do. And so get on it quick. Get on it fast, all right?
Thank you.
I need you dancing also. You know, the kingdom of God needs you dancing. So
I
get
know.
To the doctor. Like, it's funny. You can dance and do leg lifts and spins and jump up and down and land on your feet and you'll be fine. You go up to reach something at a high elevation and you come
it's
down
so
one
lame.
Time and you mess up
it's
your ankle.
So like, lame, on. Right? It sounds so lame. I hate it.
Yeah.
Okay. I thank you, Pastor Andre. I'll make it happen. I'll make an
All right,
appointment.
All right, cool. All right, I'll take you if you need.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
What's your love to hate?
You want to know what my love to hate is? Okay. I don't consider myself the cream of the crop. I won't say that I'm like the most ugliest guy walking the planet, but I'm definitely not the most handsome. I'm not, you know, I'm very average. But what I hate is when me being a gentleman and a Christian and a pastor, okay, and that, well, Christian, gentleman, then a pastor, when I go to a lady and I greet them, I'll give them a side hug and a cheek-to-cheek greeting. But why? Now, you know, when I mean cheek-to-cheek, you know, like, people, you know, they don't kiss each other's cheek. They just cheek-to-cheek greeting, okay? It's like, yeah, I'm kissing your cheek, but not really. All right? Everyone does it. But I do not like, and I love to hate, when women try to steal a kiss when I'm giving them the side hug and a cheek-to-cheek greeting. Like, if I'm giving you a cheek-to-cheek greeting, don't turn your head and have your lips, like, pointing right at my face when I'm trying to give you a cheek-to-cheek, because I don't want my lips touching anywhere on your body. The reason why I allow you to touch my cheek is because, you know, that area I'll let you, you know, touch. I don't want my lips touching your body, okay? So please do not try to psych me out and turn your face right so lips are touching. It's not cool.
They're trying to get some pucker action going.
It's not
on
cool.
There.
But you know what, though? The thing is, the second a mistake happens, because it's happened to me, but I made a mistake, right? And came a little bit too close to lips. That's one of the reasons why I only give cheek to cheek. They're quick to say, "Oh my gosh, Pastor Andre kissed me on my lips." What to make of this? What to make of this? No, it was an accident, right? And it usually happens with women 45 and older.
Oh, it's not even like the younger ones.
No,
it's
not. You know, and it was one time, and I tell you no lie. God rest her soul. She's resting with Jesus right now. But this one sister. I made the church had me go to the hospital to visit her. She was in her 80s and she was in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. So I went to greet her, and I tell you no lie, when I went to greet her, she wrapped her arms around me, puckered up, and she had a little bit of a mustache too. All right, she had a lot of bit of a mustache, and she puckered up and went straight for my lips. I had to turn my head real quick. And I told Pastor John, don't ever send me to see her again unless I'm with, like, three or four men, because I'm not doing
okay.
it.
Okay, first of all, let me tell you, let me just remind you that Apostle Paul says in the Bible, you should greet one another with the holy kiss. Therefore, you're out of alignment.
I am not out of alignment.
Yes,
you know,
you are.
Because you know why? Because what if I want to greet them with a holy kiss and they want to greet me with a unholy kiss?
What's for you to say that what's holy or not holy, okay? The Holy Spirit has inspired them to greet
Listen,
you with the holy
I'm not a judgmental, but I'll judge their holy in that area. All right? They get my cheek and not my lips.
Oh, Pastor Andre. You know what? It's probably bringing them great joy that they can actually be sly like that and, like, pucker up and give you a side kiss. It's kind of exciting for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, right? I completely understand your love to hate. If it's not something that you're welcoming, then maybe it is kind of a violation. So.
And I'm greeting. I'm not trying not to greet. I want to greet them, you know. And it would be nice to give somebody, you know, a holy kiss, but not everybody's thinking that way.
You're very right. You're very right.
And here's the thing. And this paparazzi's in church, too, with all these camera phones. All they need is for one mistake to happen. Take a picture right at that moment. It's all over Facebook and all that stuff. And then TMZ's doing a story on the youth pastor kissing women in his church. That's not cool.
Thank you so much. You're so right. And TMZ would definitely that story.
Yeah. I'm using wisdom.
Oh, whatever. Oh, man. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we will be doing a very great interview to kick off our interviews here on Nude Radio today with Mark Lee, contemporary gospel singer. Stay tuned. Call us here if you have some questions, 646-727-1706. Remember to press 1 on your handset if you want to get in on the conversation.
I feel like you wanna look inside of me. You know just where it hurts. Providing my every need, being so good to me. Lord, you give me my word and everything. From your hand, your never hand, everything I want, not by my will, but by your plans. That's why you're the one, that's why you love, that's why you're everything I want. That's why you're my joy, that's why you're peace, that's why you're everything I need. That's why you're so Lord, you came and rescued me. That's why I call you Savior. You gave me another chance to fulfill your plans. How to light up the world and never receive. All of me comes from your hand. Your nails got hands. Ever receive. I won't stop on my will or by your plans. Why all the world? That's why your love. That's why your everything I want. That's why your love.
To a song called Everything by Mark Lee, and we have a very brilliant young new artist from the Soul Movement Crew camp in South Florida here on the program today. We're really excited to have him on. Just heard that song, Everything, and guess what? The guy behind the song is here today. Mark Lee, we're so happy to have you on the program today.
Ooh,
welcome.
That song is fire.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
It certainly is, certainly is. And so we were hearing a lot of different things within that song. And so my first question to you, I want to find out how you would describe your musical genre and how comfortable are you being fixed in that genre?
Well, my musical genre, I would say, I just remember coming up in the first, you know, songs I've been exposed to were just Latin or country music songs. So my mom actually really, without realizing it, opened us up, you know, as a family to just, you know, a wide range of music. And then as I, you know, grew up and just with society and influence in the area that I lived, there was a lot of, you know, R&B influence. So, you know, with my old musical minister at my church, he always told me, just with, I guess, hearing my style, he was like, oh, you know, you have a big sound, you know, that can, you know, reach the world. It's not just, you know, a particular sound. It's a world sound. So I would say, you know, a world sound. You know, I wouldn't want to necessarily say a gospel or an R&B gospel or contemporary, but just a world song, like just songs that can just relate to anybody or, you know, no matter what, you know, place you're standing on this earth, you can just hear it and appreciate it and it can minister to you.
Now, you said that your pastor was telling you that you have a world sound and you have big music. Was he one of the
music
ones
minister.
Who... I'm sorry?
Music minister.
A music minister, I'm sorry. Was he one of the ones who introduced you to music?
I wouldn't say. Prior to him, we had a different music minister who actually... he actually got me... Without realizing it, he got us started in the gospel area. In terms of, he asked us one day to write a song for this New Year's program that we had at our church. From there, you know, one person saw us, wanted us to come sing at their church, and another person after that. So I just realized I was in this group, and then I got, you know, carried away in the gospel arena. But in terms of music or that influence, I wouldn't necessarily say that's just something that's been birthed and kind of developed since I was a young kid.
Okay.
I think that you're, I love your music, and I mean, I've first encountered your voice, Mark, on Mr. E's song Party Music, and
mm-hmm.
I said to myself, oh my gosh, this guy sounds European. So when you said that your music minister called your sound a big sound or a world sound, it completely resonates with me because I thought to myself, wow, he sounds like a trance kind of dance music guy from London, UK, where your brown is. Exactly. And I was like, wait. But then I was like, wait, who is that? And they're like, that's Mark. I was like, Mark? Mark Lee? Hey. So
funny thing.
I caught you. I'm totally feeling your world sound, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even with that song, that was just all kind of pulled out for me. I was in the studio with Mr. Ian Brayon, and that was the first time I ever did a song like that. I never even, you know, considered, you know, really doing a party song. So just, you know, when it came out, I was kind of like, oh, that doesn't even sound like me. So because when I went in, I was like, oh, let me sing the song. You know, they want a singer on the song, let me sing the song. So I started to sing the song. They're like, no, like, talk it. I was like, talk it? What do you mean talk it? Like, sing talk it. So I learned this new phrase, sing talking. And, you know, just from there, it was, hey, it is what it is now. And, I mean, the song has been done and sung over and over and over again. So, I mean, hey, it's, you know, just a blessing. I guess, you know, just another, you know.
Your voice
is cool.
Yeah,
definitely.
Hey, Mark, what's
you
your
are.
What's your greatest aspiration as a musician?
I mean, honestly, my greatest aspiration, I'm a worship leader at heart, so, and I remember when I first got saved, it was at a youth camp, and I just saw, you know, all the kids, you know, on fire for God. But not only that, you know, I saw the fire of God himself in the room, and just how everybody was just complete surrender to God. And I've always said from that moment on that I want to sing in front of, you know, the masses and just bring people to the foot of, you know, Christ. And just, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, I'm not necessarily like a guy who wants, you know, fame and so much recognition, but if I can just get that one experience where I'm singing in front of thousands and thousands of people and everybody's in complete, you know, awe and surrender to God, that's really all that matters to me.
But hey, well, what if you do get the fame and the all that stuff? Like, what if it does come to you regardless, even if you're not asking for it?
If it does, like, I guess, you know, that's one thing I'll just have to deal with. But naturally at heart, and I'm sure Tiffany could, you know, agree with me, if you see me in person, I'm really the kind of like the quiet dude who doesn't really say too much. Because I've just always been that shy kid ever since.
It is so very true. And for those of you who do know Mark and who are listening, you hear this big sound, as his music minister calls him, when he sings,
yeah.
And when you hear his music, and you're thinking, wait, okay, so who is that coming from? And then you meet him. He's so very mild-mannered and so unassuming. But it's the best combination, because that's what they used to say Michael Jackson was like.
Mm-hmm.
He was completely opposite from his voice and performer
yeah. Yeah.
Which I love about Mark.
I would say only in the negative, you know, to that, and I got to find a balance, I guess you would say. A lot of people kind of take it for, like, you know, negative, like, oh, he thinks he's too good to, you know, to talk. No, that's really not the case. Like, I'm just really, like, I'm not that in-your-face kind of guy, like, hey, you know, this is me, I'm Mark Lee, you know, I'm really not that kind of dude.
I mean, I think you're right, like, you can find that balance, and you're gonna round out as a person as you mature. Wait, tell the listeners how old you are, by the way.
I am 23 years old.
Okay.
You're 23, so as you grow, you're gonna round out as a person, and you're going to become even more open than you are. But I still like that part about your personality, that you're such a cool guy and so level, but then you have this enormous sound. And so I would say that as you continue with music, I love that you're able to be that versatile, and that your sound is large and will continue to grow larger, because you can just keep going in between various genres, and you're just going to fit. Very cool. So we're going to play this song, and we want you to comment on it. Please tell us what this song, True Lies, is about, and tell us who you collab with on the song.
Oh, okay. You going to play it first, or should I?
No, definitely. I definitely want you to talk about it before we play it, because we need to
Listen
for it.
Oh, well, and I'll just be completely, completely honest. With True Lies, I just remember I was at work, and I was just dealing with the situation with a young lady. And I'm just like, man, I've had it. I'm over it. You know, you tell me all these sweet things, but they're, you know, all lies. so I wrote the I don't want you, I don't need you. Truthfully, I've heard it all before. I wrote those lines. And I just remember just sitting and being at a place, and I was just like, well, you know, I can take the situation and I can write a song about it, but I can take the situation and not just only direct it to this one obstacle or situation, but I can make it, you know, a song that relates to just, you know, everything. In terms of, you know, with Jesus being on the, in the garden and being tempted by the devil, and the devil basically telling him everything, you know, you see before you, everything you see before you, I can already give it to you. But that's a lie in itself, in the sense of, excuse me, sense of everything that God has placed on this earth was already ours. So he can't give us necessarily anything that already belonged to us. And then two on the aspect of, you know, for instance, like a guy or a girl, you know, say I'm a guy and I want to talk to this girl. And I'm like, hey, if you can be my girl, then I'll give you the whole world. Now, the intent behind that might be like, hey, I just want to show you that I love you, and I want to show you, you know, that I'm here for you. But technically, I can't give you the world because the world, it's not mine alone to give to you. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different, you know, aspects and, you know, influences on this song. And just from that song, I wanted it to be like an urban type, you know, feel that people can relate to and just real catchy. And I collaborated with Ray King, who's a rapper outside of South Florida as well. Breon Isaac, he did the production behind the song, and he also did some arranging along with myself. And I also brought in a friend, Brittany James, who was on American Idol season 10 or season 9, I believe. And we just all came together and bit by bit just created this song that just became, you know, beyond my imagination. And I really, 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 really love it.
I love your explanation. It's so very candid. So very honest and authentic. And you're just a great, genuine kind of guy, Mark. So we're really eager to hear more from you. We'll play the song True Lies. And we want you to stay on the line because when we come back from break, we're going to be talking with Forever Jones, and we want you in on the conversation as well. So everyone stay tuned. If you have thoughts about Mark's music and Forever Jones' music, 646-727-1706 is the number here. Give us a call. Press 1 on your handset so that we know that you want to get in on the conversation, guys. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Believe that. Died and rose again on a third day. Believe that. Sort of fell down. Now I'm kingdom bound. Whom the sun sets free. So I'm free now. I know you hate it. Gotta know that. I'm salvation. No, I ain't got it. I bet you're thinking you're gonna treat me with the lie. No way, Jose. No, not this time. Fool me once, shame on you, dude. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Hey, that song was called True Lies by Mark Lee. And I love the flavor. I think, once again, it does have that versatile sound, a little different from everything that you heard before. Big sound. Mark, it is confirmed for me that you just have that sound. You know what I'm interested in finding out from you, Mark, before we get with Forever Jones here. I want to find out a little bit more about what you had touched on in terms of the inspiration for True Lies. Do you fear that music might serve as this kind of cathartic tool where you're going to be writing a lot about life and that it might create unnecessary drama for you because you have to, you're being inspired by your life, but then also your life might inspire other things in your life to transpire. Do you feel me what I'm saying?
Sort of, kind of. I've always known that with this song that the questions are gonna come. I mean, but honestly, it is what it is in terms of, you know, the inspiration behind it. I think with a lot of, you know, people who interview, the most you can give them is just the truth. And once you have the truth of the matter, it's really nothing. You know, one thing a pastor said to me once is you can give somebody a stone to throw at you just by making, you know, certain mistakes. But once all their stones are, they've thrown all their stones, they have nothing else to throw at you. So necessarily with this song and the, you know, the story behind it, hey, this is what it is, this is what happened. It's really nothing, you know, that I guess anybody could really bring up, or the drama or whatever, because everything is already laid out on the table. And not like it's just some big story, you know what I mean? With that, I guess like with a lot of my songs, a lot of songs that I write, they always come back to me in some sort of way. Like I've noticed that certain songs that I've even wrote when I was younger and I was in a group exclusive, that these are songs that years later they kind of helped me to get through certain circumstances, mm-hmm. certain situations. So in the case of this song, I guess if I ever find myself in that situation again, or anybody experiencing that, they can kind of, hey, oh, you know, no, that's a lot, you know, God has more for me, you know. Young man, I understand that you're interested in me, but no, like, first be my friend, you know, first, you know, seek God and how you should treat me as a woman, and then maybe we can proceed in that way. But in terms of me having the world, this world is already belongs to me. God gave me the dominion and the power to rule over it. So I don't necessarily need you to give that to me. Just be my friend for now. And then if things develop from that point on, then, you know, we'll go.
Cool. But there's something that you said, like, if you put out all your chips on the table, you know, and it's, you know, once they're done throwing their stones, I have no more stones to throw. I think people will find stuff to throw at you. Whether it's if they have no more stones, they'll pick up a shoe. And here's the thing, though. Church folk will throw stones, and if there's no more stones, they go into the pews in the church and start throwing the Bible and the hymnals at you. Just because.
And if not the church, the shoes or the Bible, they're throwing kisses, trying to kiss you on the cheek.
We here, Mo. Me and you are here, Mo.
Great. This is awesome. Okay. Mark, you're a funny guy. We're going to just ask you to stay on while we bring on some other artists. Some other fantastic artists who are also in the industry. And you all have been waiting for these guys because they are a part of a miracle family. Now, husband and wife, DeWitt and Kim Jones, have been writing songs since the 90s, but after receiving the miracle of five children, DeWitt and Kim knew that music was their family's calling. And this year has been a great year for this indie family band. The couple and their five children, Janelle, DeWitt IV, Judah, Dominique, and Maya, have much praise for their debut album, Get Ready. Last month, the band received three Dove Award nominations for New Artist, Contemporary Gospel Album, and Contemporary Recorded Song of the Year. And earlier this year, they were nominated for two Grammy Awards in Best Contemporary R&B Gospel Album and Best Gospel Performance. The family lives in Louisiana, and all minister at church there. And so we're very pleased to welcome members of Forever Jones onto the program today. We have Dominique, who is 22, and DeWitt, who is 18. Welcome, guys, to the program today.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Tiffany, can I ask a question to DeWitt real quick?
Go ahead.
DeWitt, right now. You're DeWitt IV, right?
Yes, sir.
Is there any way that we can just call you, like, D4?
Yeah, people call it all.
Oh, see, I'm good. So we're just going to say, hey, D4.
Good, right? That was a nice call.
Connected to the spirit.
All right, cool.
Okay, nice. Now, today's Mother's Day, and your mother's not on the program with us, but we want you to talk a little bit about your mother and tell us why you guys and all of your brothers and sisters, how you guys are such a miracle for her. Why is it that you all are the miracle family? Tell us about the miracle of Forever Jones.
Well, you know, this is Dominique. My mom was diagnosed at a young age with a pelvic inflammatory disease. And she went to the doctor, and they gave her some medication. And she decided, her and my dad decided that they were going to believe God for healing, and they flushed the medication down the toilet. And that may not be everyone's testimony, but that's what they felt they needed to do. And she said that when they did that, when they decided to believe God, it got worse. And she went into the doctor, and the doctor's response was, "I've never seen this medicine work that fast. You're pregnant."
Wow.
And and so actually later on she found out, after having her fourth kid, she found out that when you don't treat that disease, 99.9% of the women who don't treat that disease are less sterile. And so we're all miracles, every single one of us. When she got to her fourth kid, she figured, "Okay, God, I'm ready to take control of this thing now, and I'm done having kids." But God sent a prophet to their house, and he said, "Do what you have to do, but the Lord says another one must come."
Yeah.
So now we have.
I'm opening up the floodgates of heaven now. You ask for a child, I'm gonna give it to you.
Yes,
let it
he
rain.
Opened the floodgates.
Full to overflowing. I love that.
Yeah.
Great.
That's cool.
Miracle
now,
family.
Yeah. How were you both introduced to music?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to let DeWitt answer that question.
Well, I know for me, I don't remember not having music in my life. My dad was called by God. He got an invitation from God to spend time with God at 9 o'clock in the morning every day. And, like, he's been bringing me since I was a baby. I don't even remember not being in there, but he would bring pots and pans in there, and, you know, I'd get the chopsticks and play the drums on the pans, and he'd put the piano, just worship in the presence of God. And then living in the presence of God is where I honed my gifts to play music and stuff. And I think that's pretty much the same for Doe, too.
Yeah, and, you know, my parents, both sides of my parents' families, they had, you know, little groups. My dad, Mark, so had a group called the Jones Family, and we're actually second generation Jones family. And so, yeah. And so we kind of just grew up on it. And then my dad was a pastor and started a church. And so I don't know if you are a pastor's kid, if you know him, sometimes if in the beginning stages of a church, we are whatever they need.
Yeah.
They needed a pianist, a singer, or, you know, we had to step up to the plate.
An usher, a janitor, all that.
Exactly. Usher board. Yeah, that was us.
Yeah. That's cool. Now, how long do you guys think this will last? And, like, family bands generally don't make it, you know, too long. You know, maybe it's family issues and egos, and who's better in the family. I'm not saying that you guys go through that, but you may. I'm not saying that it's not the case. But with family bands being so short-lived, how long do you guys think this will last?
You know, we're just kind of along for the ride, and we're the vehicle for God to distribute his gospel throughout the earth. And honestly, we kind of know that each and every one of us has their own talent. And I think that DeWitt would like to do his own project one day. Me and him talk about it. I'd like to have a project one day. But the word we've continued to stand on is just God's timing. I think if we try to do that too quick, then we step from under the covering of his will. And that's when the rain and the floods come, and there's nowhere to hide from, you know?
Okay.
So just walking in God's will.
Yeah. Cool. Who's the Donny Osmond of the family?
You know what? This is so sad, but that was kind of before my time. So I don't...
All right. Who's the Michael Jackson of the family?
Okay. I'm trying to think. Honestly, you know, everybody's equally as gifted, but DeWitt plays more instruments than anybody in the family.
Yeah, D4 represent, son.
Yeah, he can play the bass, the guitar, the piano, and the drum. And
right.
He's kind of got all those instruments under his belt.
Okay.
Sweet.
Can he sing?
Yeah, he can sing. He can. This boy can scat. Which is
oh, nice. Oh, wait. Okay, D4. Scat a little bit for us, because scatting is such a great talent. Dude, scat for us.
Scat. Oh, all right, here we go. I just need my bass, really, but.
But that was a great treat. I mean, recording artists performing live on a radio show is just awesome. So thank you. Now, I want to get into one of your most popular songs here, and one that everyone embraces and has embraced since it came out. I want you, Dominique, because I know that you are behind this song. So tell us about the creation of the song, He Wants It All. What inspired the song?
Okay, in a detailed, descriptive way, I was sitting down, I was watching TV, and my dad came out of his room and said, Joe, let's go pray. And so he said, bring your guitar. So I went in there, and he was teaching me how to hear God's voice and listen to the heart of God and listen for just anything that God was saying. So I'm there with my guitar, and I start singing, you know, those words, there's a voice that cries out in the silence. And it's not as organized as it is, you know, now, but that's what came out, those words, and that song came out. And he happened to be reading at that very moment the scripture where God was talking to the Israelites. I think it's in Exodus, and he's telling them to lay down their idols and that he wants to be the one and only God.
Amen.
And so it was confirmation. It was just what the Lord was saying at that moment. And honestly, you know, this is funny. When I would go with my mom and dad, when they would minister, she would ask me to come up and sing that song. And that was not the song that I wanted to pick, because sometimes as a songwriter, you write songs that you think are just for you and between you and God. You don't think they'll really go anywhere or do anything. But it's funny because he used the one that I felt was...
Look what God did.
He used the one that... the weakest link in the My Little Batch of Songs, which is totally biblical because he perfects his power in our weaknesses. And therefore,
yes.
I can't take any credit for the impact that song has had on so many different lives.
Mm. And I'm sure other songwriters would say the same thing, that the song that they felt was sort of like the simplest song that they created, not even the one that they probably toiled over, is the song that ministers and blesses the most people. So we're about to play that song, He Wants It All by Forever Jones. And if you have your questions, and it's already happening in the chat room, there are a lot of questions, we're going to get to those when we come back from the break. But you can call us here as well, 646-727-1706 is the number. Press 1 on your handset so we know you want to get in on discussion.
Cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their own. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me,
You Want It All by Forever Jones. And yes, indeed, I cried the first time I heard
Tiffany,
that song.
Tiffany, I have a request.
Go ahead. Okay, can you please let me say I cried the first time I heard the song?
Go ahead. Can we play it again?
Okay, we can play it after we finish our interview.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're such a sucker, Pastor Andre.
The song is beautiful. It is a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song. And we have the young lady and young man behind this song, Forever Jones, the creators. And we're just so happy that they're joining us today here on Nude Radio. DeWitt the Fourth. D4, as we've affectionately named him, and Dominique, we're so happy to have you on the program today. So if you have your thoughts, call us here, 646-727-1706. Press 1 on your handset. You can chat in, and we've gotten some chats here, so let me address D4. They ask in the chat room, can you rap as well as scat? And so we'd like you to answer that question.
No, I don't know. I don't think so. I've never tried it, really, but maybe.
Okay. All right, so he's not opposed to it, guys, in the chat room, but it's not that thing.
No, but I think we got to hook him up with E to get him out of his comfort zone and get him start rapping. So, E, if you're listening, give them a call. Get them going.
Yeah. Because he can add that to his other talent belt. He can add that to his belt as another talent.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
All right. And we have some other chats here saying that your story, the story of your family, is a really beautiful story. So thank you for listening. And keep sending your chats in to the chat room. All right. I want to ask you, because this is phenomenal, the success that you've had this year. And so I want to know from you all, how did it feel being at the Dove Awards and then being at the Grammys? That's huge. Did you ever think that all of this would happen so quickly for you all?
You know, this, we can never see the end from the beginning, and only God could do that. And had he told us those things at the beginning of the journey, I don't think our human minds could comprehend how it was to take place. And however, it was like being on a roller coaster ride, and it was really fun. And I was talking to my parents, and it was really fast. And now that those awards are over, it's like the Lord is saying, okay, now what is it all about? You know, testing to see if we're still making it about His people and making sure that lives are changed. And those are the intangible rewards that we can receive, rather than a Dove Award or a Stellar Award, which, you know, and I'm not speaking down about them. Those are great things to achieve. But it was fun, and I'm not trying to be all deep or anything, but, my heart was, there were some things revealed in my heart and in our hearts. And I don't know, I think God's good, but we always learn something in every journey that He takes us on.
Mm-hmm.
If I could interject, I remember being at the Dove Awards a couple of weeks ago when they were taking place, and just a lot of the venues and different events, and I went along with Mr. E and Cuts Music and his wife, Michie's wife, and one thing unanimously across the board that we all experienced and all said and felt on our heart, that there's so much more than just an award. A reward or a bunch of people getting together to, receive awards. But we had more fun, and it meant more to us just to go to a restaurant and speak faith with the owner of the restaurant. She just knew for some reason that we were just ministers for some reason. I don't know why. But we had, fun talking to her right next door to one of the awards, one of the venues and events. That there was a rock concert going on, and me along with Craig, a friend of mine, so we just went over, and we just blessed some of the people over there with a CD, and just talking to them, they were there for a whole different, reason, and we just had more fun just with the little things as opposed to just the events of the awards, and it just meant so much more to me than that. And I felt that God was just saying to me, just as Dominique said, you know, after the music and, you know, what is really important. And that's just, you know, besides all the rewards, all the idols, there's still, you know, a task that needs to be done and that needs to go forth. That's bringing people to Christ.
Yeah. Right. Mark, I since you've interjected here, I just want to now introduce you guys. I mean, if you don't know who we're talking, that's Mark Lee. He's also a contemporary gospel singer, and he is doing some really great work in South Florida. So, Mark, meet Dominique, meet D4.
Hello.
Mark, go ahead. I want you, there should be some conversation facilitated between you guys. So, Mark, I know you have some questions for these guys. So, go ahead. Pose your questions now.
Okay. One question I had, actually, I had to write them down. Since we're on the song, you guys have great power in the song, He Wants It All. So what influences your music, as well as who in the gospel industry, you know, has been an influence to you guys as a family, as a group?
Well, the prayer factor, you know, we really get influenced to write songs in prayer. You know, my dad, I mean, he's strong about that 9 o'clock in the morning prayer. And,
even when we're tired, we're not saying it's like picking lilies in a field.
Oh, my gosh.
I've missed a couple. Yes. But he likes, you know. And then if he doesn't get to it, the Lord will start dealing with us.
Yeah, that's the truth. I know, I'm really thankful for that, but God really will just drop songs on you if you're willing to wait, you know, just play before him and worship him with your gift.
We listen to other artists, if that's what you're asking as well. Like, but here's the different thing about the way we were raised is that we were raised around a huge array of different styles of Christian music because, you know, we weren't allowed to listen to a whole lot of secular growing up. But mom and dad did think that they criticized music if it was different because there's something to learn from every different style of music. However, what DeWitt is alluding to is the fact that every song on that album was written out of one of our prayer times. I think Heaven actually was written on a Memorial Day weekend and a serious moment, just playing on my guitar at a friend's house. But pretty much every song on that album was written during our prayer time.
Mm.
Wow. I wanted to get one of the other members of Forever Jones on here, and she's actually Janelle. I think you're on. Janelle is 24. She's actually one of the oldest members of in terms of the children. So, Janelle, are you on with us?
I sure am.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hey, how are y'all?
We're doing good.
We're doing great. Janelle. Are you celebrating Mother's Day today?
I am. I'm actually fixing to make a peach cobbler. That's how I'm celebrating.
Hold up. She's so southern. She said, I'm fixing to make a peach cobbler.
Right.
Yeah, she said it.
You know we all heard that one because, like up here in New York, and that is totally not said. And so I know you picked it out, Pastor Andre. I was waiting for you to say that. So yes, Janelle, thank you for joining us on the program today. Now, Mark Lee is another contemporary gospel artist, and he's actually in the interview too.
Hey,
this is Janelle. So, Mark, did you have any other questions, or were they all answered?
One more question.
Okay.
Well, what things, if any, did you guys, you know, have to let go in order to go to the next level in your career? Whether
we're kind of still in the beginning, but I feel like the question for us would be, what are we having to let go and still want to hold on to? So, and that is like things like time, leisure time, really, honestly. And we're really, really super involved in our church. And I would encourage every artist
to be under a pastor and be somewhere that you serve and not work, you know, to get paid, but you just you work and you're accountable. But we're not able to be there as much right now because we're traveling. But when we're in town, we are on stage and we're singing as individuals and not as Forever Jones.
What is this? What's the church? What is your local church that, that you serve at?
The church is called Shreveport Community Church, and the pastors are Pastors Denny and Deonza Duran.
Great.
And
all right. Wonderful. So I think that what they're saying in a nutshell is that you can't be so high and mighty and getting into your celebrity and not acknowledge the local house, which is a local house of worship. And I think that's brilliant. And I think the artists who I look up to and admire are doing just that. They actually sing or serve at their local church, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Pastor Drake, go ahead. Yep. I know you have another question there.
Well, I do have a question, okay? Like, I have a twin sister and a brother who's now 23. Right, we get together and we all pretty much get along, but sometimes we go through our little, you know, bickering and, you know, and we don't even see each other that often. Now, you guys travel together, you go on tour, you minister this place and that place. What kind of support do you guys provide one another? And do you guys ever bicker at one point, at any point?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was trying to start out by saying, you know, we're just like any other family. We definitely have our challenges.
Yeah. Wait, have you seen that? Have you seen that Toni Braxton reality show?
Yeah. You know what? The
is
funny
it anything
thing is,
like
I
that?
Just watched it.
Because they are crazy.
It was very interesting watching, you know, the family and how they interacted. And one of the things that Toni or one of the sisters said was, "I don't like fighting." You know, I don't like how, you know, I don't like fighting. I don't like doing this. And I think that everybody has their challenges, but I don't think any family, you know, when they do go through those, you know, moments, they don't like that. And so I think probably, you know, when the cameras were off or not on them, I guarantee they probably made up or, you know, just kind of said, okay, you know, sis, hey, you know, I didn't mean it like that. And I didn't mean to even throw you under the bus. I didn't mean to make you feel like that. And, you know, when we have our issues, you know, we may be hard-headed and just think, no, you're wrong and I'm right, but I know for a fact that, you know, we have our times where we just say, okay, look, hey, you know, I was wrong, would you please forgive me, or I could have said it differently, this is how I felt, I said it wrong, would you please forgive me? You know, we always, I think, tend to make up, we do have our challenges, you know, but I think what our parents have done is they've taught us how to communicate and very well, you know,
yeah.
As opposed to just fighting and just, you know, not getting over it. And they've always taught us, you know, one thing that we try to do, you know, we're not perfect, but we try not to let it go on too long, you know, we try not to stay mad so long,
yeah.
You know, and not to, you know, sun go down on our anger. Because, you know, life is short.
Yeah.
And you never know, you know, how long you have a moment with somebody, and we're just trying really to enjoy it all, you know, every step of the way and as long as we can. So.
Right. While we're on that, do you guys ever, like, do any pranks? Like, the first person that goes to sleep on, like, a tour bus or whatever, they get, like, ice in their drawers? Or do you ever do, like, any crazy, like, competitions? Like, who has, like, most smelliest farts, anything like that? Because when families get together.
I'm going to let Dwight and Dell handle that question. There is no competition because we already know who that person is. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to name any names to do it. competition. We are normal. We big fans. This one time, Judah's a little prankster, and he's got this little heckling laugh that, like, whenever he looks over, when he's laughing at you, you can't even laugh with him. You know how sometimes after the joke's over, you can laugh and brush it off? You can't because he's laughing at you and not with you. And it's so loud. He's the type of person that'll put the rubber band on the sprayer thing on the sink, so that when you turn the water on to wash your hands, it sprays all over you.
Oh, no.
Or put the saran wrap in the toilet.
Stop that.
I'm going to speak to him because I want to give him some pranks to play on you guys.
No!
Unacceptable.
Right now.
Unacceptable. Oh, man. We have something in our Facebook page. It says, hello to Forever Jones from Miss Kayla from Philly. And she's saying, an awesome show. So, hello from Philly. From Kayla.
Hey, Kayla. We love you, Philly.
Oh, man. I know that you all are very young, and so I am really interested in speaking with Janelle about her transition into marriage and also motherhood. So I want to find out for you, when did you become ready mentally to transition? I mean, do you think you're fairly young, I think people would say, and I don't know if people have said that, you know, wow, you're kind of young to be married. So what have you thought, and when did you make that transition mentally?
You know, I think that, and you think about it all the time, I think that no one is really, really ever mentally ready to take on the beautiful journey of both marriage and motherhood. You think, you know, you can take all the classes that you want and, you know, go to all the counseling sessions, you know, that you want, but I don't know if anything really can prepare you except for the journey itself, you know, because everyone's journey is different. Everyone's journey is different. And, you know, you learn that, and you can sit down and you can, you know, you all, obviously we have the wonderful tools, you know, of our pastors and our parents. They're wonderful examples that we can look at and we can learn from. But still, in itself, you know, every marriage and, you know, is different. And every child is different. You can always gain wisdom from that, but you're still going to have to walk it out on your own and learn, you know, from your own daily, you know, experiences.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. Are the others among you ready or maybe toying with the idea?
Are you talking about my siblings?
Yeah.
she said it like, oh, no, not my siblings.
Oh.
No. If you met them, you know.
This way. I'm you know, I'm the type of person that I'm the people who want to marry either my sister or my brother, they're going to have to come through me first. Let's just put it like that. They are going to have to come because I'm, you know, I think, you know, I'm pretty hard when it comes to, I'm gonna talk to them. I'm going to lay it out. You know, I'm going to ask them some questions. Mm-hmm. You know, they think that my dad and my parents are, you know, hard, but, hey, they need to come talk to me first.
While we're on that, I have a question for the guys and for D4 and for Mark Lee. And D4, I need you to answer this question as if your older sister is not listening. Okay?
Go ahead,
now, and I'm going to be, you know, respectful with the question. I know the fact of the matter is when you reach a certain level and you're on stage and you're ministering, I'm not going to say performing, even ministering, you tend to attract all kinds of women. How do you guys handle, you know, I guess your dealings with women while you're, like, in the music industry, in the music business? Like, how is that? I think D4, you have your sister to protect you. Mark Lee, maybe a little bit different. No, and honestly speaking, how do you handle that? Because I hate to coin it this way, but I don't know of any other words, and maybe you guys can help me out. Like, I guess, because I know a lot of ministers also, and they battle with, I guess, quote-unquote Christian groupies all the time.
Christian groupies.
Yeah. How do you combat that? And like...
Run.
Wait, did D4 say run, or who said run?
Mark Lee.
Mark, did you say run? Oh, wow, okay.
Bible professor, please. Please. No, stop. Go ahead,
yeah,
Mark, and then we'll get to
D4. Oh, we keep each other. Me first?
Yeah, we'll get to Mark, and then we'll get D4's answer. Because we got to make sure that D4 speaks wisely because the sisters are listening. So you make sure you get your nicely, think about it, and then we'll get to you. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, I'll take my time so he gets enough time to think. But
Yo, one situation that I thought just was crazy. This there was this family, and it was like the mom and all the kids. It's like probably like 5 kids she had. And I remember, like, you know, every day, Sunday I would sing, and she would always say hi to me. So one day she decided to have me sit next to her, and she said to me, she was like, "Hey, are you married?" Like, that was the first thing that came out of her mouth. I was like, "No." And then she was like, "Well, my daughter actually likes you." And I just kind of, like, it threw me off that I kind of just smiled and said, "Okay, thank you." So for me, that's... And I didn't really know how to react, so that was really it. And I just kind of slowly walked away. So for me, that's just my way. I just kind of say, "Oh, thank you," and kind of just tiptoe my way, out
Mark,
of the situation.
Mark,
yes, sir.
Was she cute?
She was a child of God.
That's not what I'm asking. That's not what I'm asking, Mark. Your older sister may not be listening to the show. Answer honestly.
Honestly, I mean, if I could be honest, she. All
right, no. All right. Were you attracted? Was she attractive? I'll say it like that.
Looking back, I don't think she was, but initially, with just the approach,
No,
don't get me wrong. There's been attractive women, or whether she's just a little physically complex. Whatever the situation is, I think that's just always been my reaction. It's kind of like a thank you, but, no thanks, kind of tiptoe out of the situation. But
so you got the mother matchmakers after you, like the Christian mother matchmaker. That's probably even worse than
the Christian
most dangerous female groupies.
Because if you turn that daughter down, like, they'll...
I mean, I think every mom is just looking, especially in the church, they're looking for... their daughter to be with somebody who is a good example or just, a great person in that, mothers just want their daughter to be with somebody, decent, or of standard,
absolutely,
not just any old guy. So in that, looking at it that way, I guess I can understand, but...
You can understand.
I mean,
you're so gracious. Gosh, Mark, you're such a gracious person. I would agree with you, though. I would totally agree with you. And you are that kind of a role model, so... I can understand it, too.
That's a cool one. Yeah, but...
Now, are you done yet?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. D4, what about you?
Truthfully, I've got a little partner, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him, we experience the same things with beautiful girls, on the road or whatever, but, we've got to keep each other in check because there's a lot of attractive girls that are, want to talk to you because, I'm in a band with my family, and you just really got to be nice, and gracious about it and, be respectful in everything you do.
I would
agree with both of you on this because you sound that way. You sound like you're gracious and you sound as if you handle it very maturely on the road and when you're doing concerts. So keep up with that attitude because it's going to help. And I think, Pastor Andre, you're so funny because you can totally relate to this.
Yeah, I can.
That's why you asked the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're so familiar with this territory in terms of being in pastoral work.
So it's the same way. And it's cool that D4 has his sisters there to hold him accountable. And I'm sure that they show you what a good example is as a godly woman. So it's very good. I think a lot of ministers, when they get on the road, they lack accountability. You have like an automatic accountability when you travel with your family. Because your family is they're your bandmates, and that's a blessing in itself, and they can protect you from the dangers out there when it comes to falling in sin and stuff like that. So that's a good thing.
My sisters do.
Yeah.
Well, we're about to say goodbye to our guest artists for Nude Radio here on today. So thank you so much to Forever Jones. Thank you to Mark Lee for joining us on the program today. It was indeed a pleasure. You all are humble young people, and we're happy to keep supporting your ministries, respectively. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It was an honor.
Ah, thank you, Dominique. D4, Janiel.
Yeah, thank
Mark
you.
Lee. Peace, man.
Later.
Bye-bye, guys. All right, well, we are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to go into some feedback from Overheard. So you're going to be blessed with the song Heaven by Forever Jones, one other song off of the Get Ready project. So listen to that and stay tuned on Neuter Radio. Keep it locked, 646-727-1706. We'll be back in just a bit. Heaven by Forever Jones.
Yo.
So we are so excited to have had them on the program, as well as Mark Lee. Happy Mother's Day once again to Janiel and to Kim, the miracle mom of Forever Jones. We want to say happy Mother's Day to you, as well as to all the other mothers who have birthed us and birthed so many other things
on the
earth.
Yes.
You guys are truly gems, and we want to wish you great joy and peace on this very special day, the day we honor you.
Yes.
All right. So we are back, and we want to do one of our last segments here on Neuter Radio. It's called Overheard.
I don't usually like it this way. The guy who wrote it seems so bleak and funny that I'm
did you like it?
I
said, not really, Mom. I don't like fish.
I think she's cheating on him.
Is that what you overheard?
Well, Overheard is a time where we tell you the hottest, strangest, most outlandish conversations we happen to overhear on our streets, at the doctor's office, waiting in line at the coffee shop, all that jazz. And I plan to be at the doctor's office. Yes, Pastor Andre, I'll be there this week. So I'll tell you my overheard. I'm going to take care of the ankle. Okay. So I have an overheard that I happen to overhear on the F train. Okay. And so the F train in New York goes from, what, Coney Island to 14th and 6th in Manhattan. So I heard this guy on the train, and he was having a very vocal conversation, and just happened to be an overhead above ground track, so you have cell phone reception. Otherwise, you can't talk on the phone. So, yeah, this guy in a FedEx uniform was saying, okay, yeah, I don't know what was going on in my truck, but that broad was on there. I don't know. And I'm not taking the fall for her. I'm not taking the fall for her. She got me in trouble. I'm telling you, it wasn't my effing problem, okay? I'm not working with her anymore. And so I was just so appalled by that. And so were the others, because we're thinking, you're in your you're in your brand spanking new FedEx uniform, and you're supposed to be representing the company, but, hey, I might go with the brown guys, because you're not representing on the F train right now, okay?
Yeah.
That's
a moment where you take out your iPhone and start recording.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I keep forgetting that I have this voice memo thing on my iPhone, and I can do my our overheards, like, live. And, I mean,
wow.
You know,
that'd be hot.
We can do that, but I keep forgetting that we have that capability, and I just don't do it. But I just figured you guys like my impersonations, so I figure I might as well keep doing the impersonations, too.
They are very comical. I love them. I love them. Good
Thank
stuff.
You. Thank you. Oh, man. Okay, so I think we're going to honor your request, Pastor Dre.
Yay!
By playing He Wants It All once more at the end of the show. So our producer, please ready the He Wants It All song, because Pastor Dre requested it, and I know it's going to touch him once again. But before we play that song, I would love for Pastor Dre to tell us what's up for us on Spit Truth Radio this Wednesday SpitTruthRadio.com.
Yes,
this
Wednesday is going to be pretty much a more serious tone to Spit Truth Radio. I have a good friend of mine, John Colonello, and his wife Leanna, who lived up here and now doing ministry in Athens, Alabama. They're going to be talking about the devastation caused by the over 312 tornadoes that landed in the Mid-Atlantic states. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and the work that he's doing to help with the relief. You know that the death toll is now over 300 people,
Jeez.
And there's still like 1,000 people missing. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was bad. It was very bad.
So bad. And you know what? I forgot to ask that of Forever Jones, because they live in Louisiana. I don't know if they were at all touched by the devastation from Katrina. And I forgot. I wanted to ask them about that. But the thing is, when you have a voice, and when you're in a position of influence like them, or like your friends who are pastors, you can only do your part. And it's almost, you have even more of a burden to encourage people to give and to support this cause and the relief effort like this one. So I'm glad that they're actually coming on to discuss that. It's very important. So looking forward to that. SpitTruthRadio.com this Wednesday at 4 p.m. So please make sure you're listening. All right. A few things, a few announcements, and I'll tell you what's up on Nude Radio next Sunday. The Urban Gospel Fest, okay? It's an opportunity to celebrate the uncelebrated genre of music, which is urban gospel, which Forever Jones falls under that genre, as does Mark Lee. Now, the genre is kind of an umbrella genre, and we have a story running on NudeMagazine.com this week called Urban Gospel, the uncelebrated musical language. Now, I don't know if you guys know about it, but it's a genre of music that's not celebrated because it's so modern that church traditionalists are not pleased about it, and they don't think you can actually redeem these musical styles. These musical styles have been birthed from the streets. Yes, we understand that. And there are some particular styles that fall under this genre. So it's R&B gospel, you have hip-hop, you know, Christian hip-hop. You have Christian reggae. You have Christian soca.
Yes.
yes, you do. And you have, you know, Christian Latin music like reggaeton, merengue, salsa, and those styles that also fall under this genre. But all for for furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we understand that there's a purpose behind the music, but that's not enough for church traditionalists. They're not really excited about it. So this genre kind of goes uncelebrated within the church. Now, Mr. E of Sylvan McCrew, the chairman, he decided to channel his frustrations because he's obviously a huge pusher of this kind of music in South Florida. And he decided, he's dealing that music. But, you know, we know he DJs this music, and then he's also a recording artist himself, so he decided, hey, let's start the Urban Gospel Fest and make it kind of like a rap fest, the Rap Fest of South Florida. The Rap Fest is in New York, but Urban Gospel Fest will be the five different genres under the umbrella genre of urban gospel music, the ones I told you about. So it's going to be featured. So it's Nigel Lewis, the Soca King. He used to be big in Soca, now doing Christian Soca. You have Mr. E on there. You have Christina Alicia, which is Christian reggae. You have Mark Lee. You're going to have a number of other artists within urban gospel. Looking forward to it. So that's June 18th. You can read up on this at nudemagazine.com, NEWDmagazine.com. You'll find out more about the fest. And also, for Nude Radio, this next Sunday coming up, we have Booker T. Madison, who is the author of a hip-hop novel called Snitch, okay? So Snitch is... the follow-up to the novel he wrote a little while ago, it was last year, 2 years ago, and it was called Unsigned Hype. So we're doing a follow-up interview with him, looking forward to that. So that Snitch, I should have read it, I'm reading it, and we'll be done with it by next Sunday so I can be more informed about this work. But really excited, looking forward to that interview with Booker T. Madison. All right. Until next time, I'm Tiffany Knowles.
And I'm Pastor Dre.
Ta-ta. And we'll see you again next time. Next week. There goes your song, Dre.
Yeah, I know.
That the voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all.
blogtalkradio.com/newd. Talk radio has never been this naked.